In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today's gospel, it seems like it brings us full circle after our Lenten journey and then our Pentecost journey and then All Saints last week. And now we come back to a gospel where the Lord is beginning to call His disciples. And it's fitting that we should celebrate the memories of all the saints of North America today, because each of them was also called, and each of them, without exception, went through great difficulties in order to come and proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the people in this land. Now, this land is not very susceptible to the gospel. This land is very much opposed to the gospel in many ways, and that's as true back then as it is today. It was no easier for people to preach the Orthodox gospel way back in the early days, because they also ran into certain difficulties and things about this country that the people were just not very susceptible to. But yet at the same time, they kept struggling. They kept pushing. They never stopped, because they knew that it was their responsibility to preach this gospel. And we've got now 14 or 15 North American saints. It's hard to keep up with them at this point. And there's, I think, only three of them were actually born in this country. One in Alaska, one in California, and one in, of all places, Gary, Indiana. So it's a very interesting conglomeration of the saints of this country. But I wanted to speak about maybe two or three of them. The first, of course, is St. Alexis Toth. St. Alexis Toth was a member of the Uniate Church, the Greek Catholic Church, and he came over here out of orders from his bishop to come and serve the increasing Uniate population that was here in this country. Well, he goes up into the Midwest, and he is to present his credentials to the ruling bishop, the Roman Catholic bishop of that time, because there were no Uniate bishops here. And so he approaches Archbishop John Ireland. Now, Archbishop John Ireland was someone who was very much American in view. In other words, he wanted to have all these services in Latin, but absolutely everything else in English. And so when Father Alexis gets here, this man who seems to Archbishop John to be uncultured, questionable in his Catholic orders, he refuses him. He says no. He wouldn't recognize any of his orders. He didn't like the fact that Father Alexis was married, because in the Uniate tradition, because they inherited it from the Orthodox, the priest could marry. And so he essentially booted him out. And Father Alexis left that day, and yet still went to many of the other Uniate churches that were there, told them what had happened. And eventually they said, look, why should we deal with this? Why should we put up with this sort of thing, this prejudice against us that has been so long-standing? And so Father Alexis said, well, I decided to do what had been long in my heart, and that was to become Orthodox. And so he contacted the only bishop of that time, which was in San Francisco, that was in that part of the diocese, and he was received with open arms into the Orthodox Church. Probably the biggest mistake that the Roman Catholics have ever made in this country, because after that, depending on who you read, there was up to 80,000 Uniates that converted and became Orthodox after that through St. Alexis Toth's endeavors in this land. If you read his diaries, it's amazing, because he traveled all the time. He was very itinerant. He would go to one place, and his diary would say, did 70 baptisms today. Imagine that, 70 baptisms in one day. Heard so many confessions, have so many services. He was tireless in his efforts until he finally reposed and is buried in St. Tikhon's monastery in South Canaan, Pennsylvania. Then, of course, there's our own St. Raphael. St. Raphael was a Syrian by birth. St. Raphael had hooked up with bishops in the Russian church fairly early on. And in fact, St. Raphael went through some difficult times, was even suspended by one of the bishops in his Syrian area because he was protesting about one of the bishops who had taken over that was thought to have taken graft in order to obtain the office. And so he was protesting this, and he wrote letters about it. And even after he was suspended, he continued writing letters about it and continued publishing even in newspapers. Well, eventually he was put under the Moscow Patriarchate itself, who sent him over here to this country in order to minister to the Syrian refugees, of which there were quite a lot at that time. St. Raphael, again, worked tirelessly, traveled the entire country. He was someone who founded the Word magazine, for instance, that most of you should be getting. If you're not, let me know. And was someone who just would not give up on his apostolic labors. He continued and continued and continued to do this sort of work that was just completely something that would wear you out. It was so much traveling in those days, seeing so many communities, dealing with so many people. And yet he wrote many things. He wrote a lot of works. Unfortunately, they're not translated into English, most of them, but was a great luminary unto the Orthodox Church in this country. And then finally, Father John Kochurov, another one of my favorites, who was sent over here after being in Russia for a while, was sent over here into this country and founded the Holy Trinity Cathedral in Chicago, Illinois. He again worked tirelessly, teaching and preaching and raising money, $50,000, which is a lot of money even today, but in 1903, it was a fortune. And he did this to create the Holy Trinity Cathedral and was here for around 10 years. And after that, he was sent back of Russia because he had relatives there. He was a little bit homesick and was assigned to be a teacher in Tsarskoye Selo, which at that time of the revolution, a few years after he got back, of course, is where the royal family was sent. And because the royal family was sent there, a lot of attention was being paid to that area. And there was all kinds of rabble-rousing going in, and there were protests, and the White Army was fighting the Red, all kinds of disruptions. And so Father John organized a church procession, and they went all around the town singing praises and praying for all the people and trying to keep them calm because it was getting so out of control. But yet, once the Reds finally conquered that area, they came to Father John and accused him of saying prayers for the White Army and against the Reds. And Father John said, "No, that is simply not true. We were trying to calm the people and trying to make things peaceful." And at that very moment, one of the guards there picked up a rifle and shot him twice. He fell over dead right there in front of them. Then they began kicking him. One of the guards was heard to said, "Treat him like the dog he is." And so Father John Kochurov becomes, after spending so many years here in America, goes back to become the first martyr of the Russian Revolution, the first clergy martyr of the Revolution. What a story that is. Was he expecting something like that when he was over here in the Midwest? Probably not. Was St. Alexis Toth expecting somehow that he would be refused by his bishop when he came over here? Probably not. Was St. Raphael expecting to be suspended by a bishop when he was in the Middle East? Probably not. Any more than St. Juvenale was expecting to be martyred when he was preaching that a husband could have only one wife to the Aleutians in Alaska, and they killed him for it. Any more than St. Peter the Aleut was expecting to be martyred in the terrible way that he was by Spanish Franciscans in California who said that he was not a Christian, and he kept screaming, "I am a Christian," as they cut off his fingers one by one until he bled to death. So many of these great saints, not even to mention St. Nikolai, not even to mention one of the newest saints, St. Varnava, not even to mention St. John Maximovich, who is now known worldwide for his ascetical and Fool for Christ efforts and the miracles and great things that he has done and still does today. America, even though it has this turgid Protestant underpinning, even though it is completely in disaccord with the things that the Orthodox faith teaches, even though all these things happen, the blood of the martyrs, the preaching of the great saints that have come to this land have put a seed into this earth that makes it possible for all of us to attain to that same Christ-likeness that they did. They struck out far from their homelands. They didn't know the language in many cases. St. Alexis certainly didn't when he came over here. He had to learn it in order to simply communicate, in order to get by. Even to a country that at that time was building the Statue of Liberty, was welcoming people from all over the place. It was welcoming, sure, but once these immigrants got into their actual communities, it could be a different story altogether. They were suspect according to where they were coming from. They were not treated nicely in many instances. So it was an uphill battle all the way. Yet these saints kept on in their calling from Christ, just as the apostles today listened to the Lord and they stopped everything they were doing and followed Him. These saints did the same thing. They followed the directions that they were given. They followed the calling of their Lord, which led them to sanctify this wonderful land of ours. So it's important that we put these saints up on a pedestal, that they remain up there as a light to all of America, to all of Americans, for the things that they stood for, the things that they preached, because this is something that this country right now needs so desperately. It needs the calming influence of the saints of God. It needs their intercessions. It needs those that are willing to preach Christ crucified and raised from the dead, no matter what the consequences. This is what the saints did. This is what the American saints do. And this is what we're all called to do also. So let us pray for their intercessions, because they shine in this land even today. They are waiting to hear from us. They are waiting to find us to be emulators of them, so that we too can bring this wonderful, glorious Orthodox faith to this wonderful and glorious land that we live in. Amen.